Good morning, everyone. What a wonderful day it is to be alive and to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Ladies, I appreciated that prelude this morning. He, the pearly gates, will open. How many of us today seriously are ready to meet Jesus at those pearly gates? Very sobering thought. I know this. I just prayed with Larry this morning before the service, but it could be today. We don't know what God's plan is, do we? And I want to be clean before God today. I want to acknowledge Him and worship Him at His throne this morning. So welcome to Fruitland Baptist Church. Welcome to our morning worship service. I trust today that you'll be blessed in our time that we spend, both in praising God and in the study of His Word. So let's stand this morning if you're able. I know it's raining, but let's give God the glory today. We're going to turn to hymn number 7, and it's also on our screen this morning. Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. This is a hymn about the love of God. There is no greater love than the love which He gave through His Son, Jesus Christ, who came to redeem us from our sins. I'm excited about that this morning, and so let's gather together this morning in song. Love divine, all loves excelling, joy of heaven to earth come down. Fix in us Thy humble dwelling, all Thy faithful mercies crown. Jesus, Thou art all compassion. Love Thou art. Sit us with Thy salvation. Enter every trembling heart. Breathe, oh breathe, Thy loving Spirit, every troubled breast. Let us all in Thee inherit, let us find that promised rest. Go away our bent to sinning, Alpha and Omega be. Faith as its beginning, set our hearts at liberty. Come Almighty to deliver, grace receive. Suddenly return and ever Thy temples leave. Tainted me always blessing, serve me as Thine hosts above. Praise Thee without ceasing, glory in Thy perfect love. Finish then Thy new, pure and spotless let us be. Salvation perfectly restored in Thee, changed from glory, glory, till in heaven we take our place, till we cast our crowns for Thee, lost in wonder, love, and praise. Thank you for that encouraging singing this morning. May the Lord be pleased. Let's remain standing for our invocation. Our loving Heavenly Father, as we approach Your throne of grace and mercy today, we give You thanks for the personal relationship that is offered through Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, when He came out of love of the Father to die for mankind and take our place, Lord, of the punishment and penalty that we so justly reserve because of our sin and disobedience. Lord, today this should not be a service of solemn deadness, but it should be a day of exuberant praise as we thank You for the mercy and grace that are found in the love of You, Lord Jesus, directed by Your Father toward mankind. Now, Lord, we thank You today for all that have come through these doors. Lord, may this be a time today of adjustment. Lord, adjust our lives. Help us to realize where we need to fine-tune the things, Lord, that are in our hearts. Cleanse us, Lord, I pray today that we'd be clean before Your throne. I ask, Lord, that You'd forgive me and that You would forgive all of us today, Lord. And I just thank you for salvation that was so freely given. I thank you that your throne is always open and that if we will confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, Lord, I realize today there may be many things going on in the hearts of those here, but also, more importantly, in the hearts of those that are not here today, Lord. And I'm thinking of our community. I'm thinking about other people that are associated with this church. Father, there are needs, but we know that you can supply all of our needs through your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Now, Lord, may your Spirit be active today, and we will thank you, Lord, in advance for what you may do this morning in this service with those of us that are gathered here today. We ask today, Lord, that we'd be a blessing to you and that you would bless us as well, Lord, with your mercy and power this day. And we ask all these things now in that most wonderful name ever, the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Again, I want to welcome everyone this morning and trust that you're having a good day in your walk with the Lord. And let's pray today that it can be improved even as we gather together. Remember, we all have many likes and commonalities in our walk and in our way, and that's part of what the church is given for, is that we would enjoy this fellowship together and that we'd bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So I pray that that'll be accomplished today. One thing I'd like to just say as well is in another week or so, we're going to have a little cross the aisle or cross the seat experience like we used to have here, where we greet one another. But as of yet, still this week, with the COVID situation, we will not do that. But soon we will, Lord willing. And we need to take time today to meet and greet someone that maybe you do not know or do not know well. And I know this, I'd like to get to know all of you much better. But I welcome you again to our service this morning. Well, this morning we have some details to take care of before we do our announcements. And we thank the Lord for the time of giving back to him a portion of what we've so wondrously been given by him. So this morning, I do need to call a very brief business meeting to order. Some of you are aware we've had some problems with our PowerPoint and our audio-visual equipment. You also may notice behind me this morning that there's something covered up. And no, we do not do anything secret here at Fruitland Baptist Church. I am not going to uncover that, but what you see here behind me is a new monitor that will correct our troubles. We've seen it already in operation. It's wonderful. It's going to be something you're going to be very thankful for. But with that said, we are a congregationally governed church, and this does cost some money. And I know you're all saying, he's going to shake us down. No, I'm not. But we have to approve the spending of some funds. And so I'm going to ask that our trustee chairman, Jeff Hendricks, would present what this is, and that we'd have a brief business meeting here, a quick motion to either accept or to reject this new monitor. Jeff?
Okay. And the one he's talking about, the new monitor, is not that one.
It's this one right here.
It's covered up in the choir pew. Now, what proceeded, for you that weren't here last Sunday night, we had a pretty lengthy discussion about our old system, and you can know we've had trouble with it all the time. Over here, it doesn't look bad. We found out that the screen is starting to burn out around the edges. We can't get the brightness on it we need, no matter what kind of settings we go. So we voted to look into getting a new one, get the prices and stuff. What transpired Monday, or Wednesday, I guess it was, Jason and the pastor and I were here down for something else. Our thing coming up at Thanksgiving, they're going to need multimedia presentation on the screen, too, for our Institute of Creation.
Yep.
So that sort of put a rush on us. So I said, okay, we found one online we could get at Walmart. It's a Samsung TV. I said, we'll get it. If it doesn't pass, we can take it back. We got a 30-day return policy. But we wanted to make sure we didn't wait for a vote, and then we go to get one, and we can't find one. Because these things are getting harder to find. So this is what we've done. And when it's setting here, we hooked it up. It works wonderful. We figured out how we're going to get that one out, get this one in front of it. It'll set out in front of it a little farther. It worked. It's a 75-inch Samsung TV. The cost, $997.
$997.99.
1,071. They rang it up wrong at Walmart because there was a sale price on the internet, so it actually showed 1,171. They gave us back a $100 gift card, which can be used up for office supplies and all kinds of things there. Now, our recommendation, and I talked to Doug and I talked to Phil, our other trustees, that Lonnie and Pastor Jason are all in on this. We think it's the right thing to do. Now, it sounds expensive, but I found the bookwork for that one that's up there from 2009, and the receipt was on the back of it, $2,000. And it said savings is $671. So it was a $2,600 TV back then. It's a big projection TV. It's 19 inches deep. This one is a new flat screen, much nicer. And very intense. It looks like it's going to do the job.
You will be very happy with it.
So that's what we have to approve. It's about $1,071. And any questions? And then I'll turn it back over to the pastor for the book.
We donate to it?
Anything to giving. We'll pay for it with general funds. If anybody wants to donate extra to it, that's fine. And be much appreciated. But we feel we have the funds, and it's something we need to do to upgrade, and this should last us for quite a while. It's even a little bigger than that one. It's 75 inches, so that's a diagonal measurement, but it's a little wider. Jason?
I want to add something small, and that's that we did get a good search protector from the UGP as well, included in that cost. So it's
Just so you're aware, you're always... You're always able to give to the Lord's work here through different ways as you see fit. But what the reason we have this meeting today, just to show you, you know, to explain that, is that we as a congregationally governed church, we cannot spend funds here. The trustees are limited to $100 unless it's an emergency situation. So we always have to come back for the congregation's approval before we spend money. We do have the resources to get the job. Well, it's already paid for, so.
That's one thing. When you saw the lights went out for the song, it was to help see the screen. And we'll do that again.
But again, we're not here to cover anything up.
We don't have to do that anymore.
We just decided that was the day to make the move because, you know, it's a long swim out on the West Coast into those containers.
And it was a dry day.
So, is there a motion? Matt? All right, is there a second to that motion? All right, Jane, thank you. There's been a motion made and seconded that we approve the purchase of this new monitor. I believe it was for what, Jeff, $1,171,
but we got the $100.
But we get with a Walmart card. But the initial price, and we had to pay tax on this too, was $997, right, Jeff?
Yeah, the initial
$99, okay. Is there any further discussion on that? Okay, yes.
Did you get the extended warranty with it, too?
No.
They didn't offer it. We could probably look into it, but we'll see. We'll check in.
Okay.
There was sort of a fast deal we had.
Well, you know, the trustees can explore that, and if it's of nominal cost, I think that we'll bring it back and get it approved. Is there any other discussion this morning? Seeing none, then, we'll proceed to vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. Thank you. Normally, we don't have these business meetings impromptu like this, but in this case, we needed to. Thanks so much for that. And the meeting is now officially closed, by the way. So now, on we go here with a few things on the right-hand side of your page. I'll just go through these in order. There are some Institute for Creation Research handouts on the back table, both on a larger cardstock, a stiffer cardstock for putting up on posters. I already have some in my car, and then some others, and we'll make more copies if you need that you use for handing out and so forth that are of the regular paper. So I think we need to really be in prayer for this event. This is not an entertainment event for Fruitland. This is a working event and a learning event, even though it's a joy to put something like this on. But I anticipate this place will be packed out, and I mean even with chairs, because we're publicizing this. And I know many of our people are gone today. And I'll tell you, folks, I got to just tell you, that's one of the things that breaks my heart. But for those of us that are here, these are wonderful opportunities that we have to present this to our community. And I really pray that we'll get behind this and that it's not a great deal of work, but we just need to be vigilant in our prayer and in being there to work with other people that come through our doors, but also for our own edification. So I'm excited about that. I think you'll appreciate many of the things, and there will also be opportunities to ask questions that you may have about creation. And we'll have a setup in the fellowship hall. They'll have a display here. It should be a very nice event. It's already nationally publicized, so who knows who might show up that day. But that is the 21st. That's a Sunday. Our morning service that day, there will not be Sunday school. It will be a combined morning service at 10:15, and then we'll regather in the afternoon at 1:30 for the main event. And I assume many people will come to that are at their own church services in the morning. That will be our annual Thanksgiving service combined with Walnut Park that we've had historically here for many, many, many years. Okay, let's go on down here today. Come tonight for our evening service. If you're a concerned grandparent or a grandchild or a derivative thereof, message title tonight is that Christian grandparents can make a difference. Bring some Kleenex, because I'll tell you what, I cried when I put the message together. There's some good stuff in there, and this is very important, more so than ever. Drama team meets today at 5 p.m. here in the auditorium, just for a short get-together time to make some plans about the future ministry of the drama team. On Tuesday evening, we have personal evangelism. It says person evangelism, and that's right, but personal evangelism at 6:30. Meet here at the church. Wilton Bible study this Thursday at 6 o'clock. Men, we've not gotten together very much for quite a while, but we're going to change that. And so I invite you to come out to the All-American Diner this coming Saturday morning at 8 o'clock. Excuse me, Kim. You're correct. No, well, it says 8 on the bulletin. Well, I originally set it for 8 o'clock. Well, that's fine. Come anytime you want, but we're going to meet at 8. That's the official time. 8 o'clock's what's published in the bulletin, and that's what we're going to go with, because truthfully, we want to devote that time to the Lord and some quick Bible study and fellowship. But I also realize there are many things going on in people's lives. I'm more of a person to see it done earlier than later. But anyway, we can debate that that day. Also, next Sunday evening, family chat night. And I've got a lot of things I'd like to say to the family. But come, and what we do, we just gather here and we talk, just like a family does. It's not a business meeting, but about the future, about things that are going on. It's a night of open discussion regarding Fruitland Baptist Church. I don't think you'll find that forum in many churches, if any, that I know of, at least locally. So family chat night, 6 o'clock. This coming Saturday evening, there's a bonfire fellowship at 6 o'clock, 6 p.m. down at the park. Bring all your own utensils and food. We'll just have a time of fellowship, some singing, some devotions possibly, and just a time of enjoyment, barring no unforeseen bad weather. We do have the shelter house, but if we have a morning like today, obviously that'll have to be canceled because it's pretty heavy rain. But anyway, that's the hope, that we'll be able to do that. And that will replace our Sunday fellowship. Also, there's a Veterans Day Memorial Service at 9:30 at the Fruitland Cemetery. And that will be on Tuesday, November 11th. I'm not positive about the day. Is it a Thursday? Could be. Also, I do need to talk with a couple folks about that afterward. Autumn, you're one. If I could bend your ear after the service about something that's come up regarding that, I appreciate that very much. Pastor's thought for the week. There's one word missing there, and I want to insert it. The current economy is not the only place experiencing shortages and disruption in our current situation. I just want to be sure you got this. I'm referring to Christians and the Lord's program here. Not necessarily here, but here. You get the message. Enough said. Is there anything that we need to publicize otherwise? Bill Herline.
Down at the park, they have a playground for the kids, too, so it's all going to be open to the
Yep.
We'll have everything down there when we need it.
Bring visitors. This is a great time. It's not a heavy-handed time. It's just a good time to bring people out and invite them and have that time of fellowship. I'm a big believer in s'mores, so but hot dogs or anything that we can roast. I agree with you on that, Jane. Is there anything else? Okay, I got to check my bulletin here. I think we covered everything. Well, at this time then, and again, we don't pass the plate currently at Fruitland, and we are definitely believers in what the Word has taught, that this is a free will offering. There's never any coercion here. You'll never find someone come around to you and put your arm around and say, how much are you going to give this year, or make a pledge? Let me tell you, that happens in a lot of churches. But that's not how we operate here. We operate by the Word of God. I believe before the end of the year, we'll have a message on God's prerequisites about giving. But we know this, that God, he does have expectations. But we are not going to force people as the church to do that. That's a thing that you and the Lord need to settle. But know this, that God has always provided. And we want to give him credit for that. We don't have to go out and have auctions or beg on people or anything, but we trust God for the outcome. And I think that's very refreshing here at Fruitland. And I believe it's the way God would have it. And he deals with all of us personally. So we're going to thank him today for all the things and the blessings that he's given us, but also that he blessed the gift and the giver. And then we'll have a few moments as the ladies play the instruments to prepare our hearts for our morning worship. Is there anything I've neglected this morning before we move on? All right, let's pray. Our Father in heaven, today is a special day. It's your day. We know that every day is the Lord's day. Oh Lord, how often we get our theology messed up and our thinking messed up about you, Lord. Lord, we're all guilty of being biblically ignorant about things. You're an awesome God. So often we incorporate human reasoning with many of the things that you do miraculously. They cannot be explained other than that you're the God of all miracles and all possibilities. So today, Lord, we want to give you that credit. We thank you. We thank you for Fruitland Baptist Church. Lord, I know that this church must be doing a few things right, or we wouldn't be attacked all the time by your adversary. Lord, help us to stay strong. Help us to be that church, Lord, like Philadelphia or Smyrna that's listed in those seven churches of Revelation, that does not soil its garments but remains true to you and stands for you to the end. Now, Lord, I just pray today for Holy Spirit invigoration of this flock. We have many opportunities, Lord. We have no reason to be negative because the fields are white unto harvest. And you've told us to go into them. And I know, Lord, we'll reap a wonderful harvest for you if we're willing to work. So, Lord, today as we think about harvest in the physical sense here in the Northern Hemisphere, we thank you for the bounty that's been found in the fields this year, Lord, in the vegetables, the grains. But, Lord, what we are most thankful for is the bounteous gift that you've given us of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord, that you've offered that to us freely. That's a wonderful thing, Lord. And so we acknowledge and worship you today, Lord, with a heartfelt thanks, and we stand in awe of you. Now, Lord, this is an opportunity as well for those that love you, those that are under the teaching of Scripture. We know that, Lord, you've given us in great abundance. And as we determine now, Lord, how we would give back to you a portion of this, we thank you that you've so wondrously provided it. All we can say, Lord, is thank you, and may you be honored and glorified in your day. Now, I pray, Lord, that you turn our hearts to worship, that you would unfetter my lips, and, Lord, that as we go into the preaching of the word, these facts that are going to be presented this morning will be driven home by the power of the Holy Spirit, and Lord, that none of us would leave here as we came. Now I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, and thank you, ladies. I like a good rainy day occasionally. How about you?
Yes, I do.
Kim and I were talking this morning on the way out. We used to have an umbrella. We don't know where it's at. Actually, it was a free umbrella. It was one given to me by my alma mater at some event that we attended there. We're too cheap to buy an umbrella. We just try to dodge the drops. But anyway, I always think a day like this is a good day to curl up and just delve into a good book. Anyone know of a good book that we could look into today? There you go. And that is the best. God's holy word. So we have a very appropriate day, at least from my perspective. When I know on the farm when it was raining, things relaxed a little bit. That was a time that you could just kind of chill out for a little bit and get deeply involved in something that you weren't under the gun to get accomplished. But today I believe there is a reason that we need to be aware and concerned, and we need to be under the gun about God's word. And God forbid that any of us would be missing things in His Word that are vital and that are very important to us. And let me tell you, this book is packed full of things that are vital and are important to us today. I have to admit, I have a hard time when the saints don't want to gather. And I know we've had obstructions, and Satan's put a lot of things in front of us in the last year, couple of years, year and a half to be specific, or a little more. But I'll tell you what, folks, this isn't a time to go hide under a rock. It's a time to go be connected to the rock that is Jesus Christ. Because I believe this with all my heart. There are big things coming on the horizon. And you know what? Wouldn't it be a sad thing to meet Jesus? And like I said before, there's going to be a lot of people wondering why. Why didn't you tell me about Jesus? And we're going to be wondering, Lord, why didn't we look into your word? We've had, for some of us, decades. And yet, what is it that causes us to resist doing, just like I said today, getting into the word a little bit? I think it's so important. I pray that the Lord will bless that today as we look into his word. The title of our message today is Part 2 of the Basic Doctrines of the Christian Faith, the basic truths of the Christian faith. I'm not going to re-preach this whole message. There are some handouts back on that table. If anyone needs one, raise a hand, and I know that we'll get one of those into your hand here. Jason's there, ready and willing to bring one. No one needs one today. Hopefully you've saved them. These are core biblical teachings of God that come as a package. And I don't know where everyone is here today. I assume it could be that there are some that deny these. I illustrated a couple of famous people last week. And there's many more that deny one or more of these. But I believe this, that it comes as a complete package. And if you indeed want to believe and know that your salvation is secure, these seven core doctrines are a part of that basic package. If there's a rejection of one or more of these in your life, I want to warn you today, you likely are not saved because it comes as a package. So it's very important that we teach these things when we're gathered as a local church, because we're here not only to evangelize and disciple, but we're here to what? To edify and to build one another up in the preaching of the word. And so today, my prayer is just simply this. If there's anyone that's struggled with these things, that they would put them to the test this day and see where it lines up, and to know that these core doctrines, these core truth teachings of the Bible, are vital in our lives today. Well, let's go to prayer and we'll hit the ground running. Father, may you just simply bless our time in the Word today. I pray that you'll deal individually with all of us, Lord, as you see fit. And Lord, some of us, including myself, need a trip to the woodshed. And Lord, what a shame that we've fooled around and wasted our time so often when we could have been involved and growing in your word. Lord, I pray you'll forgive me, and I pray that you'll just empower me to bring this message today. Lord, I've been disrupted this morning and some of the things that go on. I just pray you'll put that behind me now, and that you'll give me free course today and bind Satan's hands, Lord. And I do pray for victory here today, Lord. I pray that there'd be maybe one or more people that would step out today Maybe everyone here is saved. That could be, Lord. But I'm going to preach that there could be one that's not or more. And Lord, that this would be the day that we'd see revitalization in a believer that's gone astray. Or Lord, that today we'd see an unbeliever yield to you and call upon your name in salvation. Lord, that we'd get things right, Lord, where we've been disobedient. Lord, whatever that case may be, I leave that in your hands today. And I just pray that you'll help this poor fool to illustrate this message today in a way that brings you honor and glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, where we're starting today is on the second point of seven. The second point of seven, and you should have this clearly illustrated on your sheet. There are many things here in this message, but it's going to be up to you to write all those down. And that'll be a better thing anyway. But the first thing that we learned last week is what? The first of these key doctrines, the basic doctrines. Remember, we're focusing on basics here. Well, it's the existence and reality of the triune God of the Bible. I won't re-preach that, but that's number one from last week. Today, the second one is the creation account. The creation account. And you know what is recorded in Genesis 1:1? By the way, the book of Genesis means what? Or the word Genesis means what? Beginnings. Beginnings. How appropriate it is that our 66-book Bible starts at the beginning. And we looked at this in part last week, but what Genesis 1:1 simply says is, in the beginning, God. It tells us that God's always existed. Spoke about that last week. But secondly, it says in that verse, He created the heaven and the earth. And so there, in its basic form, and what's laid out in the early chapters of the book of Genesis, is the creative work that God did. I believe in God's literal creation, because the Bible teaches that. Now, I'm going to give you some arguments as we go along today about some of these very things. You know, as I mentioned briefly last week and want to reemphasize now in this second point, is that if we deny the power and miracle of biblical creation, and by the way, we can't understand any of this, can we, really, how it all took place other than to believe that what? Simply, God did it. And that's what I believe here this morning. I don't need to see the mechanics all proven to me, even though God has given that proof in His creation, has He not? Anyone with any ability to think rationally, and by the way, God is not rational to us. He's rational in the way He operates, but He operates miraculously. But if we truly examine all the evidence of this world that's around us, Romans chapter 1 says that that's a basic thing. If we deny the creation, it's God's most basic presentation of Himself and who He is. But if we look into the intricacy of creation, we know there had to be what? A master, perfect, divine creator. You can't deny it. And we know for the things that we see as mutations or things that have interrupted that, they're due to what? They're due to sin, and that's coming down the line here too, to the fall of man, which took place very early and is recorded here in God's Word. But here's the thing, folks. If we deny the power and miracle of biblical creation, which is revealed as orderly, divine, and truly is the only plausible account that is airtight, I don't care where you go to anyone that's an evolutionist, they have different answers. None of them agree on anything intricately. But we can agree to the basic tenets of what God did in His creation in the Bible. It's the only thing that's plausible, because connected with creation is what I illustrated earlier, the fall of man and all the events that took place, including Jesus coming on the scene, and we'll look at that too as a basic doctrine, and how the whole thing is going to be wound up. Biblical teachings, biblical Christianity is the only source that can give us a plausible account from beginning to end. And by the way, there is no beginning and no end, but you understand what I'm saying about the time frame of mankind. The Bible tells us all those things. Right? Nowhere else are you going to find an airtight response and where it all lines up and gives a historical account about the days of mankind. You know, the Bible answers the great questions, which are, Where did I come from? Any of you ever spent a rainy day thinking about that? Well, I've thought about the whole gamut of what, you know, is out there, the creationist account, the biblical account, and I've thought about the evolutionary account, and I'll tell you what, folks, the evolutionary account doesn't give me an answer. Not that lines up with everything else. There's that basic question, where did I come from? Next question, why am I? What's my purpose? Is it just to occupy time and space? You know, isn't there a purpose to why we're here? Evolution wouldn't give any answer to that, would they? No, other than they would come down to the basic tenets is do what you want, do what feels good, and have a good time doing it. Isn't that really the truth? But that's not what the Bible says, is it? The Bible says that we were brought here for what reason? Humankind, we were created for intimate fellowship with the Creator. I want to tell you, that's more than not knowing what the purpose is we're here. We were created with a purpose by Almighty God, and the Bible tells us that account. Well, the other question of the four here that I have written down is, where am I headed, right? Well, in about an hour, I'm headed for some lunch, Lord willing. I always want to add that. But that's not what I'm talking about. And as Kim often says, a lot of times when I'm eating breakfast, I'll say, what's for lunch today, dear? And Kim's response is, you haven't even finished breakfast yet. But folks, how often do you think the people in this world really sit down and reflect? You know, everyone has an idea what's going to happen. There's people that believe in annihilationism. They believe that maybe there is a hell, but you know, when I go to hell, it's not going to be for all eternity. I'll be burned up in a short time and it'll be all over and then there's nothing. Some people believe in that. What do other people believe about that thing, about our destiny? That there's nothing. That we're just a living organism and when our days are over, it's all gone. People have all kinds of conceptions about where we're headed. But folks, the Bible gives the plausible answer to that. And it tells us why the situation is that there is a place called hell, but it also tells us of a place called heaven. And let me just say this matter-of-factly, there's no middle ground in the Bible. The Bible is a black and white book in many cases. It tells it like it is. You know, and it's how long has the Bible stood the test of time, in part at least? About 4,000 years at least. Show me another book or tell me another book today that can cover that track record of the last roughly 4,000 years of humanity. I'm waiting. Because you can't. It's profound. And then, of course, that's one thing, where am I headed? But what's the last of these four questions? What should I do? What should I do? And the Bible tells us all those answers as well, right? No other book, no other truth source, and I believe the Bible is the ultimate truth source. It's objective truth. It cannot be challenged. It can be challenged, but it can't be proven wrong. But there's no other source that tells us definitively as a race. What I'm talking about there is the human race, what we should do. Because all the other sources come back to this eventually. Do what fits you best. But that's not what the God of the Bible ordained. He says what? You need me. And that I'm the one who needs to be the priority in your life. Anyway, did I miss any of those questions, by the way? Aren't those the four profound questions of life? Am I right on that, Dean? I see the wheels of your mind turning there this morning. Anyway, but here's the thing, folks. If we doubt creation, we will also doubt or deny the power of redemption and resurrection by God. If you don't believe creation, likely you will not believe one or more of these other doctrines because you do not, again, understand that Jesus, the book says, is God and he is the only way. He is the truth and the life, and that we have no relationship with God the Father but through him. John 14:6. Now you remember this is a 5-page message. But anyway, think about this as well. The evolution theory does not fit reality. It does not fit reality. Because, folks, we are not getting better. We are decaying. You know, when the earth fell in, it was put under a curse and Adam and Eve fell into sin, things began to degenerate. How did God design this creation that he brought forth in his ways that he wanted it done? Good all the time, forever. But man disobeyed, right? Adam disobeyed. And so we brought upon ourselves a curse, and the second law of thermodynamics comes into effect here. All matter is changing and it's decaying. It's being de-energized at the behest of time. We're not headed to a better thing, and it's due to the curse. But the thing is, folks, God overcame the curse in Christ for the believer. By the way, hell will be a constant degeneration for eternity for people that go there. Please understand, God does not want you to go there today, if there's one who does not believe today. Now, I mentioned some incorrect theological teachings last week. I don't know if anyone got mad. I didn't get any hate mail. But you know what Jesus says? Do what to the people that hate you? That's right. So you can expect this. If I get hate mail, I'm going to love you more. Right? Kim, you... But I got to tell you the truth here again today. And I had a person ask me last week if we are a Baptist church. Well, not necessarily technically. If we're a GARBC church. Well, I'm saying this publicly for the air. I still appreciate the doctrines of the Old General Association of Regular Baptist Churches. I am an old-fashioned GARBC person. But what I'm going to tell you today is I'm not going to tout a denomination. It's not a denomination, it was an association. But I am a Bible-believing Christian that identifies with the Baptist heritage. The Baptist heritage is multi-spectrum. I gave a person some books. You won't believe all the little rabbit trails that our faith goes on, but here's the basis of it. The Baptist heritage that I associate with is that group of folks that stood for the Word of God against false teaching throughout all time. So for that, that's my heritage. I still am going to do that here till the day I'm done. Anyway, here's what I want to say. There's a lot of people that are into Reformed theology. Now, reform just means a little bit of an adjustment on Roman Catholic theology. And folks, even though I love all these people, their theology is not biblically based. But here's what I'm getting at about this, about creation, about Reformation, or people that believe in covenant theology. They've been taught this ball of wax out that from their theologians and their religion and their churches that says mankind's going to get better, and covenant theology means that the kingdom is going to be ushered in because we're all getting so much better. The millennial period, the reign of Christ, will be ushered in because people will improve and get better. You tell me, is that true today or not? You read back throughout all of history. Sure, there's been up or downs with people and the culture. But nominally what? We are devolving. We are not evolving. We are devolving toward judgment. Covenant theology says man will progressively become better and eventually usher in the kingdom on earth. And my friends, it denies the power of God and it relies on the power of man. And anytime you rely on the power of man, it's going to what? Because we're broken due to the curse. It denies the power of God and it relies on the power of man. And my friends, it goes against the facts of reality as taught in the Bible. Paul told the Apostle Timothy, he says, hey, young man, things are going to get worse and worse. They're not going to get better in the sphere of man. Never forget that. Folks, let me just say this. The folks that deny God have no constraints. And you will see that there will be a continual devaluation when we turn away from the standards of the Word of God into all kinds of area of sin. No, there's no new areas of sin. It's all been tried before. Brother Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. But folks, when there is a time when we're on the downside of a revival, and by the way, do we need a revival in our church, in our personal lives, in our nation, in our world? There has not been a true revival for a long time. I've told you before, old Billy Sunday, somewhere up there on 7th in Iowa was where his tabernacle was. 4,000 some souls were saved in Muscatine when he was here with revival meetings. But folks, it's been over 100 years since he was here in town. Have you seen anything like that since? You know why Billy Sunday was so impactful on people? Because he had the Spirit of God on him. He was saved from the depths of alcoholism and the depths of sin. And you know what? He was fired up for the Lord. I think it's about time we quit being depressed and get fired up too. Because folks, we are not without hope. This is not over yet. But if we continue to buy into these type of things as a culture, and even some Christians, you know, and I believe they could be born again, but they've been wrongly taught this covenant theology stuff and everything. You know, it goes right down the line with where we're at today about genders, homosexuality, all types of sin issues that are tied to the evolutionary teaching, not the biblical teaching, folks. Enough said, let's move on to point three. And we will end on time no matter what today. Unless we don't. Point three. The Bible is God's authoritative word to man. I've already danced around that this morning. You've already agreed with me because no one challenged it. What else have you got to stack up close to it? There's nothing even close. There is no other source that has the span of time with it and the span of certainty with it. The Bible is God's authoritative word to man. If you don't believe that this morning, you have a problem because this has all got to be taken together. Now, I want to just say a couple little disclaimers to be very careful about this. God's word is accurate in the original manuscripts. We do not have original manuscripts left, but we have good copies. What you have in front of you today is, it is, if you're careful about what you look into for the translation and the research that goes on behind that, because I want to tell you, there's some bad stuff out there today, and I'm not going to name names, but I'm going to tell you this. We have a sure word before us in our 66-book Bible. If it has been what? Properly handled from the copies of the original in its translation. Now, I'm not going to endorse or tell you, you know, which Bible to use, but I'm going to tell you, you need to be careful. And we have had that teaching here before at Fruitland that talks about the track between the different revised copies of the Scripture. But there is some stuff out there floating around that is not divinely studied and translated into the English language. And there are some copies out there today floating around too that leave out parts of the text. Or that have had some of it added. And you know what God said in the end of the book of Revelation? Don't fool around with my word. So you need to be very careful about that. I wish that I could spend a lifetime studying about those. I still do study, folks. By the way, I'm not technically in school, but I still am in school on my own. And you should be too, about these various issues. These are not things to just take hook, line, and sinker, but to investigate them thoroughly. Now, I want to say this clearly. I've even in my doctrinal statement, I prefer the King James Version of the Bible. I am not King James only. I'm not off in that ditch. But I'm also telling you that I believe it's a good translation, but there are some things that I point out from time to time that deviate from the original manuscripts. But you have a solid Bible with the doctrines in front of you today, these core doctrines that are gonna keep you on track. And they're going to accurately describe the message that God has in his word for us. By the way, most of the discrepancies you'll see in translating and that have very minuscule things that are different. It might be the placement of a word like the, or different little things like that, that are okay, you know, there is that liberty to do that as you translate. Sometimes we need to sit down and translate a verse from the original languages, and we might do that on a Sunday night. And I'm so slow and so slow and unlearned in that, it takes me a long time to parse out one of those verses. But it is a very difficult thing to do unless you're very fluent in the languages. But I just want to say this, folks, what we have before us here in these core doctrines is God's word. It's reliable. Let me go on with my text here. I believe it's the 66 book Bible too, by the way, friends. All these challenges that come at the Word of God in later years, they're about 1,800 years too late or more. Because in the very newest of the writings, because folks, everything that we see in front of us today has been looked through before by people that were a lot closer to where these things went on. There's nothing that can come close to this that we have. The 66 book Bible is God's divine book of objective truth. It is not compromised. It has been preserved and cannot be proven corrupt or contradictory as long as, again, it goes along with what's recorded in the copies. And the copies we have are very authoritative. There are some false ones out there. But again, is this track record has come from the early days, and Moses wrote the early parts of the canon of Scripture. But these were delivered by God. And we'll go into that here in just a minute even further. But they are there. And the thing to remember about the Bible is it's impossible that its basis was of human crafting. Couldn't have been done, folks. The language structure. You know, the Bible has perfect grammar. it's just beyond comprehension. When you study the original languages, you know that this had to have been divine. We couldn't do a paragraph together here in a week and get it right. But see, God's word doesn't have that. It's error-free. It has no discrepancies in it. It's exactly what God once transmitted to humans. The language structure is complex. I just told you that, to parse out a verse, very complex. And yet there's not one of us in this room that under the divine help of the Holy Spirit can understand everything we're talking about in this book. That is something pretty special. It's easily understood when we study it, by the way. It gives the account of history from pre-creation to eternity future and everything in between. Nowhere else can you find any such thing. No other document exists like it. It communicates the greatest love ever known, and that's God's love for man. Now, John 3:16, here's the communication. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten, or unique Son, the God-man, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Turn in your Bibles this morning to 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. These are some of the bold claims that we find in Scripture. 2 Timothy 3 16 and 17. By the way, what do humans always do when they do something that's great? They'll either name it or claim it, one way or another. If humans have something that they believe is something they've done and they're very proud of, they'll either show it or they'll make a claim to it. Right? We're braggers by our sinful, fallen nature. But that's not the case with the writers of Scripture, and it's not the case with what God revealed to the writers of Scripture about himself. Notice 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. All is a detergent, but all means all. All Scripture, in the Greek it's the word graphe, writings. All writing is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Profitable just means that it's good for us. And notice the word doctrine is used there in that verse. Doctrine means the teachings of truth. For reproof, reproof means to be nurtured. For correction means to get set straight. And for instruction, instruction is the word nurturing that I'm looking for here. Reproof means convicting evidence. I'm sorry about that. So let's go back through this again. It's profitable, meaning it's good for us, for the teachings of truth, for reproof, which is convicting evidence that's presented to us, for correction is to get us straightened out, and for instruction, which means for nurturing us in the paths of righteousness, that the man of God may be, in the King James it says, perfect. That isn't what we take it. It means complete. It means delivered the full package, that we come to the fullest of our extent that is possible, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. In other words, that word thoroughly means fully equipped. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. 2 Timothy 2:15, one chapter back. 2 Timothy 2:15. Notice what Paul told Timothy here, a young protege. By the way, Timothy was in a much more blessed position in some ways, that he had a mentor like Paul, and that Paul wrote these letters to him that were under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But here's what Paul told Timothy. He says, study. How do we study, by the way? Do we just sit and stare at something? Well, we might, and I believe that the Holy Spirit can give us illumination about things when we do that, but study means to dig into it. Do research. Go into the original languages. Tear it apart and put it back together. See what it really is all about. Know it through and through. So Paul says to Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God. Folks, if we want God's approval, we'll be students of the Word. That's how we'll gain His favor, by growing in Him, by adhering to the Word. Notice here, a workman. See, we get this idea that there's no workers anymore. We all are above that. Not the case with God. And it's not the case in anything today. God still wants people, and we still need to be people that are willing to work, that we're not, you know, at some platitude where we don't have to do that anymore. Bible never teaches that. He says, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I'll tell you what, who will we be ashamed of if we don't work in the Word of God? We're going to be ashamed of ourselves. Oh, I know that doesn't grow self-esteem today, but folks, we ought to be ashamed. We ought to be ashamed. Rightly, here he says here, dividing the word of truth. In other words, investigating it for the proper message that it conveys to us as it fits in with the entirety of Scripture. And then 1 Peter 2:19 through 21, and we're going to stop there for today. We'll come back again. 1 Peter 2:19 through 21. Peter writes the following. He says, for this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it, if when you be buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. You know what? Am I in the wrong place here? I am. Help me out. I must be on 1 Peter 2:19 through 21. Where was I at? Yeah, we're wrong. I'm looking for the verse that says, why am I having a problem here today? I should have checked that over. Let's try 2 Peter. I think that's what it is. 2 Peter 2:19 through 21. Well, I got to look. Help me out, folks. You got me here today on one. It's the one that says that these were not things that were, you know, they were delivered and borne along by the people, that this was delivered to the Holy Spirit. I'm having trouble here this morning. Help me out. Well, isn't that something? Well, isn't that something that I'm not finding this morning? I know it's here. Well, let's check it out here. Thank you, Carol. I went over that twice. Here it is. We have also, this is 2 Peter 1, 19 through 21. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, Peter writes, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. So Peter's saying what? We have the written word of God in front of us today. We have a more sure word of prophecy, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Now here's the important part of this. Knowing this first, that what? No prophecy of the Scripture is of what? Any private interpretation. What do you think that means? Well, it simply means this. That the whole Bible must fit together as one piece. There cannot be one thing that denies another part of it. It has a coherency, and that it fits together. He says it's not something, again, that's of any separate interpretation, but also it's not open to the interpretation of one person and their opinion. It all has to fit together. Continuity is the word that I'm looking for. But notice here, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but how did it come? Holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, or borne along by the Holy Ghost. This scripture that we have in front of us today, yes, it was written by man. By the way, it was not written verbatim. It was written in the flavor of the writers, but it was given through what we call the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. It was God breathing, God bearing along these authors of the Bible, again, that brought this about. If these were ordinary men, not under that inspiration, they would have been claiming what? Look at what I wrote, look at what I've done. But many of the writers of the Bible say this was God's word. It was not something that I manufactured on my own. And they sought no perfect purpose or gain from it other than for the gain of the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, the Bible is God's authoritative word to man, even if Pastor John couldn't find the right reference today. By the way, you talk about being embarrassed. It happens. And if you don't think it does, you stand up here sometime. It's not always easy. But the point is, once again, it communicates the greatest message ever, and that's the love of God toward mankind who fell. So the Bible is God's authoritative word to man. And here's the thing in closing. If we reject the Bible or parts of it, we reject its message entirely. Because as we saw there in those last three verses, it has to be taken together. It is not of any separate interpretation. It has to meet the criteria of the whole. Well, I've gone against what I said. I've gone 4 minutes over. And you can charge that one up to me. But we'll look at the last points, Lord willing, next Sunday morning. But again, if any of these are areas in your life that you have doubts about, well, it strikes clearly at the surety of salvation, or if you even are born again, because as we'll learn through these basics of doctrinal teachings of the Bible, they are all critical to showing us the true picture of what our salvation is and how it was so wondrously given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ through the love of God. Well, These doctrines are essential basics of the Christian faith, and they are essential to eternal life. And so, if we doubt any or all, we are not headed for peace with God and a dwelling place in heaven with Him. No matter what anyone may say, it all fits together. So today, again, as we close, our response is important in yes or no to these doctrines. I encourage you today, if there's any of these you have a question about, study them even further. Study them in the context of Scripture as it fits together. Study them from the perspective of what choice do you have in the world today that gives you the rock-solid, airtight evidence of the Word of God. I'm quite certain today that you will not find anything else that has the tangible evidence that God's Word does. Our response is important because you know what, folks? We're only one breath or heartbeat away from eternity. But even with that aside, where we're at today is important. There are people that are looking at you. You may have children. You may have grandchildren. You have people that you are able to influence by your testimony. And folks, I believe this. We have a responsibility to show people the right paths. We need to guide them to the light, not into further darkness or through deceptive things that are not biblical. But I just say this today as we look through these doctrines. Thanks be to God for His unspeakable or His undescribable gift of His Son Jesus, which is shown to us in these truths. Jesus is the Creator, to Jesus is the Redeemer, and the Sustainer of our eternal life that are found in His Bible and in genuine Christian faith. Thanks, you've been a good audience this morning. Your response is warranted before God. Let's stand and take our hymnals this morning. Number 550. I mentioned to you earlier that this week, as I was preparing the message for tonight, I shed some tears at my desk. Now, sometimes I can be a little bit of a hard-shelled individual, I'll admit that. But you know what? A good cry isn't a bad thing, is it? And you know, it's a way that God gets a hold of us. I like this closing hymn today. Because you know what? It could be today that we've been hard-hearted through our world that we live in, that we've lost that tenderness before God and with others. And it could be today that someone has realized today, even through my poor teaching, that maybe we've rejected one of these truths or we have questions about it. But maybe today you've come to understand that, you know what, this all does fit as a package. That we've been listening to the world too much. We've been under the intervention of Satan and his attacks in our lives to weaken us with the Lord Jesus. Well, this is the thing today, folks. Jesus is saying, come home. I'm calling you today to get back on path with me. I encourage anyone today to just heed those directives of this hymn. He's calling. Will you respond today? Here we go. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Matt, I'm glad you came forward. And for me, see on the portals, He's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling. He's waiting for you today. Come home to Jesus. I trust that you'll have a good afternoon in the Lord. Thank you again this morning for your participation here today as we seek to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. Doug Chatfield, I'm going to ask that you dismiss us with prayer. I'll be back at the door here in a few moments to greet you. God.
Thank you, Lord, for this message, Pastor.